Pastor Tim Bay. So come on up. Let's give him a hand.
Alan does that so well. I mean, you know, when he does it that way, I just say, hey, here's our pastor, and he does great things like that. But yeah, so I'm going to continue on with unconditional love again. But, you know, to get a couple of things straight, because Pastor Melissa preached last week, and I've always got to go behind her and straighten up the things that she's messed up. And one of the things that she had said was last week, she said, hey, listen, she goes, you know, her life story, every time that she preaches or teaches, it'll always be about unconditional love. And she said, but you should be used to that, because if you've been around Pastor Allen or Pastor Harvey or Pastor Tim, you've heard the same old stories over and over and over again, so you should be used to that. And I just wanted to really clarify that up. And what that really means is I do tell the same story over and over and over, but that's because when I start to tell it the second time, I remember something very, very important that got bigger. I mean, that was more important. So when I tell it again, you're leaving out one of the details that I forgot to tell you how big that was the time before that. And we were on the men's camp out, and I actually got to see this in action, really, because there was Phil Hogue over there and Craig Hoff, and they had Max Bunker over there, and Max had caught a fish, and he was telling this story, and he was like, I had a fish like this big, and Phil and Craig's like, that's not the way we do it here. We don't do things like that. We go, that fish was this big. And you come up with it with the right size, then you bring it to the size that you want. And I looked at him and I thought, as a pastor in here, I need to correct that. And I thought, I didn't see anything wrong with that whatsoever. So when Pastor Melissa said that, you know, you just got to realize that this, as men, you left out important details that wasn't told on the last story, so we need to tell that, right? Today, what I want to do is, Pastor Melissa and the rest of the pastors spoke about unconditional love, and I think that word is so big that sometimes we let that word go by without ever really applying it in our lives, right? I sometimes, if I just say unconditional love, then the truth about it, I would tell you that I unconditionally love everybody. But when I really break that down into my life, I find out it's not true. I find out really that word comes so fast, and I think sometimes we do that, right, is we come to church and we just hear a word and we let it go. But if I break that word down, I begin to really see in my life, it's all really good. That word is until I apply it in little areas of my life and I begin to go, wow, maybe I don't unconditionally love there. And maybe I don't unconditionally love there. But if I'm not careful, I won't allow what God's doing inside of that word to happen inside of me, right? I mean, I unconditionally love all bad drivers when they're in the other lane, but when they come to my lane, then that changes. Right? Right. I unconditionally love everybody until they get over into my stuff. And when they start to get into my stuff, then that gives me a right to say something or do something. But really, it's the thing that the Holy Spirit's showing me in places inside of my life where I really don't unconditionally love, but I've almost accepted those things as it's unconditionally love. But it's not, right? Pastor Melissa said this, which really, if you look at this, she said the definition of unconditionally love is to love a love that is not subject to any conditions. That's a big word. That's a big word. If I look across my life, and do I love with no conditions? And it's not true. It's not true for my life. I look at it and I go, it's not true, but yet I come every Sunday and I do my square and I check my square and I do my I went to Sunday school, I went to whatever, and I did everything. But the truth about it is when I look and I evaluate my life, there's a lot of areas of my life that I don't unconditionally love. Pastor Melissa said this. She said, every day we need to encounter the unconditional love of God. Every day we have moments, circumstances, things inside of our life. If God doesn't show me and show how it affects this unconditional love through me, my life will be a mess because I'll just do things that I've been taught to do for a long time. Right? I think our world teaches us to judge. Our world shows us from little bitty all the way up. We're taught how to judge people's clothes, how to judge the way they act, judge the way they look, but judge everything about them. You know, it's crazy. I watch women all the time, and women, just kidding, honey. I do watch women. I'm a people watcher. And women cracked me up because I know that I could have said that better. Could have said that a lot better. Thanks, Pops. Could have said that a lot better. Should have practiced that one. But what I'm saying is, if you ever notice a woman who walks in the room, every woman will turn and look. Every woman will turn and look. And I'll be like, ooh. And I thought, wow, they've been trained. They've been taught. We've been taught to look and judge and see. We've just been taught. But if in the church, I'm a child of God. I should begin to take on the character of what he looks like, right? So maybe when the lost world would look at me, they would see a character of who I was in Christ and not what the world had taught me to be, right? But so many times we call ourselves Christians and we call ourselves children of God, but yet we don't walk in his character. We don't begin to take up those things that are different than the way we've been taught. Amen? I began to realize when I'm in circumstances or situations, it's usually God puts me in those circumstances or situations because he's trying to show me where I need to grow at. And so I've been noticing in my life, these circumstances and these situations where maybe I'm not so good at unconditionally loving. Where I'm talking to someone who has a different opinion than what I have. And then I try to control that person, or I try to manipulate, or I try to get them to think the way I think, because the way I think is right and the way you think is wrong, and my opinion is better than your opinion. And you, let me show you where you've messed this up at, right? And so I had the privilege of doing Mr. Osborne, his funeral, and it was unbelievable funeral. It really was. It just really blew me away how this man had decisions inside of his life, and he had a chance to take the left trail or the right trail, and he would have took, most people would have took the other one, but he was raised in a Christian family, and he realized that he wanted to raise his children in a Christian family. So to be able to impact that for generations, he took the trail less traveled. He could have been singing with Elvis Presley and Johnny Cash and Roy Orbison, whoever that was. Yeah, he could have sang with those guys and did sing with those guys, but yet chose a life to raise his children inside the church. And I thought, wow, I don't know that I would have made such a decision as that. But it's paid off. It's crazy. And I think it's going to continue to pay off for generations that he only gets to see from heaven that we don't get to see. But at the end of it, we came back here for the funeral, and I don't even know who she was. She was an older lady, and she was already here. And so I walked in, and she said, you're Baptist, right? I'm like, no, not really. And she goes, well, the sign doesn't say Baptist Church on it. I said, well, we're not really Baptists. And she's like, well, what are you then? I'm like, well, I said, we're kind of non-denominational. She goes, what's that mean? I'm like, I'm trying to get out of this conversation is what it means. What it means, I'm trying to get out of this, and you keep holding me to it. And her son's standing there looking at me, and he's going, mm-hmm, you're fixing to get it. And so we're sitting there, and she says, what's that mean? I said, well, that means that we have Baptists. I said, we have people go here. So there's some people who are Baptists. There's some people who are Methodists. I said, there's non-denominational. I said, there's charismatic. I said, there's Pentecostal. She goes, how's those Baptists? As Baptists, how do you control those Pentecostals? I was like, oh, we don't. I said, it's kind of like we flow. And I said, there may be a little bit of different beliefs, but we believe the same Jesus and all that. She goes, but you are Baptist. I'm like, and so I said, well, I said, matter of fact, now that you bring that up, I said, we have three pastors who were Baptists. I said, then there was me who was just pure heathen before I got here. I said, there's Pastor Allen. I said, he was a Baptist pastor. I said, there was Pastor Harvey. I said, and he headed up and led Great Baptist Church. I said, then there was Pastor Melissa. And she went, bless your heart. I was like, oh, well, bless you too. And so we continued. And so we continued on. I thought, I ended in a good note. I thought she loved me and I loved her. But later on, they told me, they said, no, that's a Baptist cuss word. I'm like, they said, if they say bless your heart, that's not really good for you, Tim. I'm like. So it's that place, right? It's that place where I don't try to control. I don't try to get you to believe. I don't get mad at you because you don't believe what I believe, or you see something that I believe, or vice versa. And could you imagine a world where we could all live and we could all share our opinions, and we could all talk, and we'd not be mad at each other because you were this, and I was this, and you loved this, and I loved this, but yet we believe that there was something bigger in there, right? And that's what I'm talking about is unconditional love. Because remember, if we don't encounter God in all of these situations, not just on Sunday, right? It's not just about Sunday. It's about encountering God in all of these circumstances and situations He puts me in, so all those who are involved will be able to encounter God. Right? So that's what it's really about. So as I encounter God and I go, oh God, they think differently than I am. They believe differently than I am, but you're still the God of the world. Amen? And the place that I love, when I love out of there, it becomes bigger than who I am, right? I believe that we can love bigger than what I believe. I believe that we can love bigger than trying to get people to see and do the things that I want them to do. And I believe that the word that we said in 2020 was that 2021 would be a year of miracles of love. And God told me that at the end of last year, and I was like, what the heck? What does that mean? Well, what's miracles of love? I know what miracles are, and I began to pray about it and began to ask God, and I believe that in 2021, we're going to begin to learn how to love. And we're going to begin to learn how to love each other and how to walk with each other and to walk with the world and begin to do that the right way. Plus, Pastor Melissa spoke about Blue's Clues, and she said that there was that show that came on and had the same show 5 days in a row. And basically, that's what we're doing at church today, right? We've done Blue's Clues for unconditional love 4 times in a row. And we understand that in Ephesians 4, it says this. 4:11 says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Okay, so sometimes we really, if you want to really be truthful, we come to church and we just really check our box, right? We already think about the pot roast or where we're going to eat at, if we're going to eat Mexican or we're going to eat whatever. But really, do I take the message? Do I really believe that God, I mean, how do I believe that God created the earth and God did all this and I'm growing in this process, but I don't take the Sunday message of the pastor of the church that I send to go to believe that word is from the Lord for him to work inside of my life? And so sometimes I think we just get so busy with our lives that we hear the word, we're like, oh, that was a good word, but we don't take the word and start to apply it inside of our lives. Go look at it. What's this unconditional love look like inside of my life? How do I respond, or how do I walk in circumstances, or what do I do to see this unconditional love? How do I ask the Holy Spirit 200 times this week to say, how's this word, unconditional love, applied inside of my life? And show me all the places, search me, all the places in my life where I don't unconditionally love. See, because Jesus said that the love they have for one another, they'll know by then. So we think if we tell the lost world they're going to hell, if we think we threaten them with this, Jesus is saying, if you love one another, they'll know. Because there's nothing greater. There's nothing bigger. It's the most powerful word in the complete world. It calls the sacrifice. God says, I love, and the sacrifice was my son. See, we say, I love, but then there's not a sacrifice that becomes behind it. We just do whatever the heck we want to do. We don't see how it applies, but we do all the other right stuff, right? We do all the right stuff. We read our Bibles, and I believe that, and we praise Him, and we worship Him, and we say we want to see His face. But then do I go? I agree. Do I go all this week and see how that I'm supposed to unconditionally love? I don't think that every time I go to church that the whole sermon from the beginning to the end is for me. I think there's pieces in there that's for me. But I should be looking at that sermon of what God applies and see how it applies for my life. How does that look? And I can take the pieces that are good and I can throw out the rest. I mean, I've had people come and say, hey, listen, you said that we need to grow. Can I tell you I'm grown? I'm like, okay, good, you're grown, but everybody else in the sanctuary wasn't. You know, so grab what piece applies to you. Take what piece of the message that applies to you. Put it inside of you and allow the Holy Spirit to work that out all week long. And if we were to take this unconditional love word that we've been preaching for 4, 5, 6, 10, 12 weeks, I'm thinking that the church would unconditionally love. We would change things around. We wouldn't be against each other. The Baptists and the Methodists and the non-denominationals and people, we'd all be for each other, realizing that, God, we all love the same Jesus. We're going to end up in the same place. And I'm just thinking, what if we just did it in church? What would it look like? I'm not even talking about, I thought about if we were just good at it in this building. They got quiet then. You can talk about other churches, don't talk about this church. What if we were good at it in this church? What if we loved each other unconditionally in this church? How would that change people? Let's not even take it out to the world or take it out to the city and the church. What if we decided that every person who was in Grace Fellowship, we were going to begin to learn to love unconditionally? They don't have to think like I think. They don't have to look the way I think. And I can trust that the same Jesus that's in their life is the same Jesus that's in my life. What would happen? I think that so many times we don't realize how, and I was looking for just one area that I could show you kind of what unconditional love looks like in my life, the way God's been working into my life. When I was raised up in a foster home. We didn't have running water. We didn't have electricity. I had two pair of pants. They were sexy. One was an orange crush velvet corduroy pants. And the other one was its brother. It was purple. And I'm talking about bright purple. And the other ones were bright orange. They weren't like a burn orange. They were orange. And I'm like, who even bought these pants? And I'm figuring that they came from like Salvation Army from like the 70s or the 60s, the Jesus Love Me people. And I got their pants. I got somebody's Jesus Love Me pants, I'm sure of. And then I wore a white t-shirt. That's all I had. So I would wear the orange pair of pants on Monday, and then the purple pair of pants on Tuesday, and then the orange pair of pants on Wednesday, and that way. Until I finally wore them out, thank God. But they were pretty tough. They didn't wear out so well. But anyway, so what happened is, people would make fun of me. People would make fun of me because I didn't smell well. People would make fun of me because I had these pants on. People would make fun of me because now I don't think that they had evil in me. I don't think that they wish I was going to die and go to hell. I don't think they wish I would burn. I just thought they thought it was funny. They thought it was cool. They needed something, and I was their something between their friends. And so I don't think that they realized how it marks a person or how it changes someone because they didn't know how to do it right. I don't think that they were bad people. I just don't think that they knew how to do it right. And I think that a lot of times that's what happens in our lives. We just don't know how to do it right. And other people, we begin to rob them of life. Just because we don't know how to do it right. I just don't know how to unconditionally love right. Now, the major issues, I'm not supposed to love them unconditionally right. No, not true. But the little issues that we make fun or we tease or we joke about people, it robs them. And so it began to show me, wow, do I have unconditional love? Not even for the major people. Not even the people who don't believe anything that I believe. But what about those people who I know that I just make fun of or I do whatever, right? I don't know if any of you have ever been around Marsha Davis. She's not here, so I get to talk about her today. That's how we do it. No, I'm just kidding. I called Marsha up the other day and said, hey, Marsha, can I tell you your story? I love being around Marsha Davis when she gets in the spirit. I love it. I absolutely love it. Whenever I hear this story and I'm not there, I'm like, oh, Marsha, why wasn't I there? And just to kind of, we went to Voice of the Apostles and Bill Johnson was on the platform, and he was like, I don't know how many thousands of people were there. He's like, we would like for the nation and the leaders of the nation of Brazil to go over here to the left-hand side because we want to pray for you. And so the nation and the people of Brazil were getting up throughout the crowd, and they were going to walk over here. By the time they got down there, Marcia, something happened in her spirit, and she started jumping around in the regular audience. She raises her hands up, straight up in the air, screams as loud as she can, jumps up and down, and takes off running down towards the people of Brazil. And the lady behind me goes, I want some of that. She goes, whatever she drank is what I would like to have to drink. And so 2 or 3 hours later, we hadn't seen Marcia. And somebody said, where's Marcia? And somebody said, I don't know, I just saw her speaking in Spanish as she went by earlier. But Marcia, Marcia has been sensitive to the Spirit, which I think that we're going to all grow into. But Marcia's been sensitive to the Spirit for a long, long time. Even as a little girl, she was sensitive to when the Holy Spirit was moving and allow Him to move through her. And so, which was different than me. It was different from somebody who's never been in church. Kind of freaked me out the first couple of times. I'm like, what? And then so I'm like, well, if that's true, I want some of that too. And but she's told me stories of how people have corrected her and told her it was emotional and that it wasn't really Jesus and it wasn't really whatever. And I thought, wow. I just don't know that I could. Well, I did tell somebody that, and I went and apologized. But I asked her how it affected her. I said, Marcia, how did that affect you when that person came to you? And she goes, well, she goes, it didn't really affect me in the spirit realm. She goes, because I knew it was God. She goes, but it did affect our friendship. From that point on, I really couldn't trust the person. I thought, how many times as good Christian people have we done things like that? Right, I remember the first time that I ever went to a church that had scarves, and they were dancing with scarves. I'm like, what? What's all that stuff? You know, but then I got used to it. But at first I had something to say about it. Or when somebody whistled like me, who can't carry a tune, or clap, and I'm out of clapping range. And what I mean, just because I get so carried in the spirit, or maybe Nathaniel, where Nathaniel dances up here, worships the Lord, and he's kung fu fighting over here. I want to turn the song "Kung Fu Fighting." Everybody was fast as. I wanted to turn that on, but it's not about me. He has a Jesus that he's worshiping, but yet. Yet me not understanding or not grabbing this unconditional love, I could actually be robbing something from him, robbing life, robbing something. Or I could be talking to someone who doesn't know that I'm just kidding or I'm just laughing or I'm just joking or I'm whatever. What if I just don't know the implications of what was happening by watching another man or another woman worship the Lord the way they're called to worship the Lord? How am I affecting, you know, I don't think that we're keeping the world the same by doing that. I actually think Christians make the world a worse place by doing things like that. And then we wonder why the world's getting worse, and then we're participating with the very things. Amen? Does that make sense to you? And I think that, you know, I got a scripture for you here eventually. I knew I was going to get to you. So 2 Samuel 6:16. The story is like this. I'll tell you the prior to what's happened is the Ark of the Covenant, which was the presence of the Lord. We know that's where God lived at. And in the presence, wherever the presence of the Lord was, it's Old Testament, and wherever the presence of the Lord was, there was a blessing that came. And so the enemy had taken the Ark of the Covenant. They had taken the presence of the Lord. Who steals the presence of the Lord? I'd like to steal it. So anyway, they're trying to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel, and David finally goes out. He finally gets enough, and he goes, and he says, I'm going to go bring the Ark of the Covenant back. And so 2 Samuel 6:16 says this, the Ark of the Lord was brought back into the city of David. Saul's daughter, Michal, was watching from a window. She saw King David leaping and dancing in front of the Lord. That made her hate him in her heart. David returned to bless his family, and Saul's daughter, Michal, came out to meet him, and she said, you are the king of Israel. You have really brought honor to yourself today, haven't you? You have gone around half naked. I'm doing good. I've not been half naked. In front of the female slaves and your officials, you acted like a fool. Verse 21, David said to Michal, I did this to honor the Lord. He chose me instead of your father or anyone else in Saul's family. The Lord appointed me ruler over the people of Israel. I will celebrate and honor the Lord. And that's not all. I will bring even less honor to myself. I will bring even more shame on myself. But those female slaves you spoke about will honor me. See, that's where that thing is. He said, I'll become more even undignified than this. I'll do more kung fu dancing, or I'll jump up and yell for the people of Brazil. I'll do more. I'll undignify myself more to see the Lord work that. But see how much we do? And you got to understand who Michael was, right? Michael was of royal priesthood. You are royal priesthood. Michael was bought. You've been bought. Blood was shed so she could be bought. So Michael is the picture of us. Michael is the picture of the church. We're royal priesthood. We've been bought at a price, and blood was spilled. And that's what Jesus did to redeem us into the kingdom. Now, so then Michael begins the judgment. Verse 23 is a big one. It said, so Saul's daughter Michael didn't have any children as long as she lived. Now, I'm not saying just because we make fun of Nathaniel kung fu dancing, you're not going to have children. I'm not saying that. And some of you are like, whew, I didn't know I could have done that. That's at work. Now, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we rob life. We rob life. We rob life from ourselves when we don't unconditionally love. We rob life from others when we don't unconditionally love. When the church doesn't rise up and have the character of who God is inside of them, and we begin to do whatever we've been taught or however we've been taught it our whole lives, we rob life. And the world is not getting better. It's getting worse, not because of the lost world, but because of the church. Because we're not taking words. We're not looking and saying, God, search me. Search my life. Search any place in me that I don't unconditionally love. I don't drink. I don't smoke. Well, okay. I do those, but no, I really don't. But we do all the big 10, right? Don't do these big 10 things. But do we take those things of unconditional love and say, do I love the way you love God? Do I love people? Do I love the way you love? When people look at me, do they get mixed up with you? Do I look like your child? Do I look like you? Do I look like this? The main thing that you built your whole life upon, which was love, do I look like that? I just wonder, as a church, do we stop and say, God, search my heart? And find out every place that I don't love and begin to deal with me. Fix it. However you got to fix it, Lord. Do in me whatever you need to do to me to get me to look like you look. And I'm telling you, when we look like he looks, the world will change. It'll change. We can do all the other stuff. But I'm telling you, this is the season when he said that 2021 would be miracles of love. I'm like, Lord, what does that mean? And as 2021 has begun to unfold, I'm beginning to see it 1,000 times a day in my life where I don't know how to unconditionally love, because I've got to, you know, I'm only 38, but I'm only 38. Right? Tommy, quit laughing. That wasn't a joke for you. So the world's taught me how to love and the way to do it for 58 years. I want to love the way he teaches us to love. I want to be able to walk with those that thought differently than he did. I believe even in the scriptures, when Jesus went back and wept, I believe that he was weeping because he couldn't get the Pharisees to see any difference. He loved them so much that he couldn't get the Pharisees to actually see that they didn't love, that they had the scriptures right, but they didn't love. And I wonder sometimes as a church or as children or sons that we've done the same thing and we've produced a world that we don't know how to love. I have so much more. I could go through Matthew 13, and I won't. I just want you to read it. because the story goes, it's a parable, and Jesus is telling the parable. And he's telling them, he said, hey, listen, this is what's going to happen. And basically the master goes out and he plants a garden, a field of wheat. But the next morning, his servants look up and go, hey, who planted these bad seeds inside of this wheat? And he says, ah, the enemy must have came and planted that. And then the servant said, hey, do you want us to go pull the weeds up? He goes, no, leave the weeds alone. Leave the weeds alone. And when they grow up, he goes, I'll separate them. And so they kind of miss it a little bit. They go on and keep doing their stuff. And like 10 verses later, they come back and say, Jesus, go back and tell us more about this parable. And he says, hey, listen, I'm the owner of the field. And the Son of Man planted the seed, and the enemy, which was the devil, come and put weed inside of it. But at the end of the age, he says, the angels will come and they'll separate the wheat from the tares. He goes, and he'll separate them, and they'll do what they're supposed to do. And the story goes, if you read it, you find out that the servants had nothing to do anymore. That'd be us. That's what we do at church, right? Hey, you want us to take care of this? I see this in so-and-so's. I see this in Tommy's life. You want me to go take care of that, Jesus? You want me to see the things that's wrong in his life, and you want me to go over and tell him everything that's wrong inside of his life? And Jesus is like, no, don't, because I'll do it. Because you can't tell the difference between what's a weed and what's a seed. A wheat. You don't know the difference, and you're liable to tear up some good stuff that I'm doing in life. But somehow as the church, we only read that first scripture. And we thought our job was to go pull weeds out of people's lives. Pull out the things that they don't believe, or the things that we see right, or the things that's our job. And he says, stop, it's not your job. It's not your job. He goes, I will do that. I will do that. But somehow we picked up that responsibility. And in the midst of that, we thought we unconditionally loved, because we're running around pulling weeds out of. Listen, you're not a weed inspector. You're not. It's not your job. But we did. And Jesus says, stop. If you'll just unconditionally love, I think he had it right. When he said, the greatest commandment of all is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. All of the commandments hang on these two. And I just think that we've not caught this. And I'd like to see us as a church begin to ask the Holy Spirit, because it's going to take help. Because I think it's so deeply in judging and pulling weeds have been a majority of my ministry. I've been busy. And I'm realizing, wow, it's not my job now. So I'm asking God how to teach me how to unconditionally love and how to walk this way out. Amen? Let's stand up and pray for you. That's it. That's it, Pops. I have more, but I thought I'd never get through this second part of it. And I think, really, I think that the Holy Spirit did what he wanted to do. He made us aware that I judge a lot. I judge a lot. And in the midst of this judging, I've put it in categories. Oh, that was just funny. Or it was judging. And what I know is I've robbed people. I've robbed people like Marsha or Nate or anybody who danced with a scarf or whatever you do differently than what's anybody else. Instead of just being who God created you to be and allowing that freedom to take place, I've restrained you from being a child of God and made you who I wanted you to look like. And I apologize for that. And I'm hoping and praying that as a church, we would learn how to love the way he loved. So let me pray for you. Father. We ask you to search us. Search our hearts. And search our minds. We had no ill intent. We just didn't know what love looked like. What unconditional love looked like. And so I just pray that all of us here today, God, that you would, the Holy Spirit would remind us 1,000 times this week, every time that we run into a circumstance or a place where we love with conditions. Maybe, Holy Spirit, you could ring a bell or you could do something to remind me every single time that my love has a condition to it. But God, we don't want to go any further. We want to grow up as children of God. And we want to look like you look. We want to shadow the things that you shadow. We'd love for the world to be confused with the church and you. Is that Jesus or is that the church? I don't know. They act so much alike, each other. So we just say, search us. And show us this week all the areas and places in our life where I don't know how to unconditionally love the way you do. Amen. Pastor Allen, you got anything? Pastor Harvey, you good? Okay, good. Amen. Thank you guys so much for what you do. Thank you so much for loving each other or trying to love each other and loving us and doing what you do. So God bless. Go beat the Baptist to the buffet.